Wilbur Fauché's tower was meant to look like the Washington Monument. It does, sort of, though it has 750 window bays and those 10-foot-tall letters shouting out Fauché. Young Wilbur so much admired the Washington, D.C. obelisk that he vowed, as a teenager, that if he ever had enough money, he would build his own office building as a memorial to the first president. The W.B. Fauché Company was doing quite well in the 1920s. Fauché had turned a $6,000 loan in 1916 into a profitable, if questionable, enterprise. He made his money largely by buying up utility companies and then selling stock in his utility empire. By 1927, Fauché had enough money for a new headquarters building. He would spend $3.7 million on a building with gently sloping sides, where each floor was slightly smaller than the floor below it. He planned his own office and home on the 27th and 28th floors, a suite lined with African mahogany, bathrooms with gold-plated faucets, French doors with stone balconies. The Fauché Tower became the first skyscraper west of the Mississippi. There is no other office building obelisk like it in the world. In Minneapolis, Fauché's tower became the skyline icon of the city. Indeed, it was the city's trademark, the way it was recognized, what the Eiffel Tower is to Paris. Charles Nelson, historical architect at the Minnesota History Center, remembers as a student traveling by train to the University of Minnesota with an older man who lived in Minneapolis. As Nelson tells it, the train came around a bend from St. Paul, headed up the Mississippi, and
there on the horizon is Minneapolis. And this elderly gentleman, I could see his eyes get wide, and he gets very, very animated, and he points out the window and he says, "Look, look, the Fauché Tower, we're home."
Fauché's tower represents its era well, the Roaring Twenties. According to Larry Millette, editor and architectural critic at the Pioneer Press, the Fauché was built about the same time as the Chrysler Building and the Empire State Building in New York. All were built at a time when the economy was booming.
Skyscrapers tend to be like the spikes on the stock market. When things are going well, skyscrapers get built, as they're being built now in Minneapolis, as they were being built in the 80s. Every other decade or so, we build skyscrapers because the money is there to do so. So it really does sum up the 20s, I think, perfectly.
In August 1929, Wilbur Fauché spent a little extra money, more than $100,000, on a three-day celebration to mark the opening of his tower. The Secretary of War came, and there was music. The Minnesota History Center's Charles Nelson.
One of the things that he did, which probably is one of the most significant PR ploys of all times, is that he got John Philip Sousa to write a special march, though it's only played one time, at the grand opening of the Washington Monument of Minneapolis, if you will.
Altogether, John Philip Sousa's band played 8 different Minneapolis concerts for the Fauché Tower celebration. But then, just 2 months later, the stock market crashed, and Fauché's $20,000 check to Sousa bounced. Wilbur Fauché's empire had been built on paper profits, and he lost everything in the crash, including his tower. At the time it was built, Fauché's tower seemed jarring, even insulting to many Minneapolis business leaders. Not only had Fauché used all-union construction crews to build the tower, a threat at the time, but it was seen as too presumptuous, out of scale with the rest of the community, and perhaps too personal for taciturn Midwesterners. Planning consultant Tom Martinson, former national director of the Society of Architectural Historians, says Wilbur Fauché was a salesman, not quite the right breeding for the Minneapolis establishment. Martinson says Fauché tried to buy acceptance in the community, but he never succeeded. He compares Fauché to F. Scott Fitzgerald's fictional Jay Gatsby.
Wilbur Fauché could have been a successful, wealthy, comfortable living person, but he pushed it. He wanted to be something he couldn't be. Gatsby the same way. And both of them ended up, in a sense, tragically.
The great Gatsby was shot. Fauché eventually went to Leavenworth Penitentiary for his financial misdeeds. He was convicted of mail fraud in 1932. He served 3 years before his sentence was commuted by President Franklin Roosevelt, and he was finally pardoned in 1947 by President Harry Truman. Wilbur Fauché died in relative obscurity in 1957 in a Minneapolis nursing home. Today, Fauché's building is still a popular address of distinction. To visit the Fauché's elegant Art Deco lobby is to walk back in time to the 1920s and 30s. Marble from Europe, terrazzo floors, shiny bronze. Architect David Shea worked on a multi-million dollar restoration of the Fauché in 1992.
When you enter the lobby, and lobby is the true heart of this wonderful space. It has the marble columns, it has the cut glass chandelier, it has the raised ceiling with cloud motif painted on it. It has all of those things that make this building a piece of history.
Great view.
The outdoor observation deck atop the Fauché Tower is one of only a few public viewing spots like it in the nation. It's somewhat like the Empire State Building, only on a smaller scale. And the view is now only waist high in the city. The IDS building surpassed the Fauché in height about 1972, and now the Fauché sits in a canyon amid 60-story buildings. But architect David Shea says it still affords a commanding view.
You can still see the river going by. You can still see the airport off to the side. You can still see the city lakes and the parkway systems. But you're also looking into the center of a number of office buildings that are part of the space around you.
People who work in the Fauché Tower offices think of their building as a special place with a sense of intimacy. Windows are never far away. You can circle an entire floor in barely a minute. Today's corporate world of cubicles seems to lack personality, but creative people get inspiration from their environment in the Fauché. Like many older buildings, the Fauché Tower has its ghost stories. Mort Levy runs the Fauché Museum and is the building's historian and guide.
There are many people that thought that Fauché committed suicide after the stock market crash. They want to know if he really jumped off the building. But I like to kid a lot. There's only one elevator that comes all the way up to the 30th floor, and sometimes that elevator makes an unscheduled stop, and the door opens, and I said, well, I tell the people, well, Wilbur's ghost must want to get on.
Architectural historian Tom Martinson sees irony in the fact that Wilbur Fauché, who could never find acceptance in his own era, is well remembered in ours.
Today, we look downtown, we see the Fauché Tower, everyone knows the name. You may not be able to name the other buildings downtown, but you always know the Fauché Tower. In the end, we remember it, we're talking about it today, we're talking about Wilbur Fauché, and the people who had what he wanted have disappeared from history.
Minneapolis now has taller buildings, fancier buildings, but none of the other buildings can claim to be the civic symbol that the Fauché Tower once was. I'm Bill Buesenberg, Minnesota Public Radio.